Shankara makes the point about the world. He says the achievements and the gains of the world and the successes of the world are like food mixed with poison. You eat the food and it's sweet. It's a word for an Indian sweet, which is mostly honey. It's sweet, but there is poison in it. So you enjoy the sweetness, and then later on, the poison hits you. Now he says, in quoting the verse from the Gita, that desire for and indulgence in the objects of the senses is the enemy, the constant enemy of the wise man. But it's only the final enemy of the ignorant man. The ignorant man first thinks this is a friend, and he gulps down the sweet food. Later on, he knows it was an enemy. But the wise man, the man who knows, rather, although eating the food, he knows it contains poison. So that even although it's sweet, and he tastes the sweetness of it, that sweetness is contaminated by the knowledge that he's poisoning himself. Well, this rather far-fetched example, one would have thought in India, has come to life now for a large number of people who, when eating food that they like, are aware that it's full of cholesterol or whatever their particular allergy it may be, happens to be, and that they're in fact eating something that's poisoning them. But nevertheless, sometimes they go on eating it. And Sridhara says there are symptoms of this poison. That the mind goes to a low ebb. He says, if we engage our mind in property, bricks and stones, he says, or in personal conversation, then the level of the mind ebbs low. The vitality of the mind is sapped. And he says, you must make your whole life a yajna, a sacrifice, to bring about yoga. And one can think, oh, well, yes, some parts, you know, some things ought to be given up, but not everything. You have to be a bit practical. And people are quite strong on particular points and not so strong on other points. For instance, if one's made quite a lot of money by working extremely hard for it, then one thinks, well, I'm entitled to have this. I've worked for this. I've given the world exchange value for this money. This has been honestly earned. But people who, well, who've just inherited money, well, that really, they ought to give up. They've done nothing for it, and that should be given up. Whereas the people who've inherited perhaps fame, famous name, they feel, no. People who work for fame, all that fame and all that wealth is based on egoism, and it's consequently, the very success is a reinforcement of their ego, and therefore that should be given up. But something that simply drops, as it were, from heaven, without any planning or effort at all, that's clearly a gift from heaven, and as such, it should be accepted. Well, in this way, what the other people have is clearly a candidate for being given up, whereas what we ourselves have, a master of meditation and me said, what we ourselves have somehow doesn't seem a right candidate for renunciation. And he says, while we are full of desire and ambition, we are volcanoes, and nothing can live in a volcano. Now, our teacher made this point. A country like New Zealand, which is extremely fertile, is volcanic. And was volcanic. And when the volcanoes have finally subsided, the land is extremely fertile. And our teacher said, this is also a yogic truth, that people of very strong passion, when those passions are finally pacified, the soil is extremely fertile for yogic inspiration. And he he made this point. He said they've got to be pacified, and the life has got to become one-pointed, but that when it does, it will be a very fertile field, and the yogic plants will grow there.